Moscow is celebrating the 80th anniversary of its busy subway system. It's one of the biggest subways in the world. When it was built in the 1930s, the metro was a crowning achievement of the Soviet Union, but it has a dark past as part of the country's forced industrialization under Joseph Stalin. NPR's Corey Flintoff has more.
It's 5:30 in the morning at Oktyabrskaya Station, where metro officials are gathered to send off a parade of vintage subway trains, the oldest of them dating from 1935, when the first section of the Moscow subway was completed. Each train arrives precisely on schedule at 3-minute intervals and gets a send-off from a brass band. There's a film loop projected on the whitewashed ceiling of the station. It's from Soviet newsreels of the time, showing confident workers shoveling double fast to move dirt out of the deep tunnels and complete the project in record time. Irat Bagaudinov says a lot of the early work on the tunnel system was accomplished by sheer human sweat.
The construction of the first line of the Moscow subway is very basic because they really didn't have much of the mechanization, much of the machines, but at the same time very interesting because it was a big experiment. They didn't know how to construct the metro, they didn't know what methods to choose.
Bagaudinov is an expert who leads a tour called Moscow as seen by an engineer. The builders of the Moscow subway had help at the beginning from engineers who'd worked on the London subway. But Stalin worried that they were learning too much about the layout of the city, so he had them tried for spying and deported. The construction of the metro was a major priority for Stalin, who saw it as a way to demonstrate the superiority of socialism over the capitalist world, which was deep in the Great Depression. He put one of his best managers in charge of the project, Lazar Kaganovich, known for his ruthlessness as the Iron Commissar.
It's one of the highest profile showcase constructions of the forced industrialization of Stalin's five-year plan.
Stephen Kotkin is a historian at Princeton and a fellow at the Hoover Institution.
And Kaganovich has a high profile in this because it's got to get done. And they need it to be a success. It is, the metro's got to work.
The thousands of workers who dug the first subway and the tens of thousands who built massive steel plants and tractor factories needed to be fed. And the Soviets needed hard currency to buy foreign-built machinery for their new industries. That meant taking the Soviet Union's grain harvest from the farming regions and leaving the people on the farms to starve.
Kaganovich, like Stalin, bears direct responsibility for the famine. Probably 5 to 7 million people died from the famine across the Soviet Union.
That first section of the metro ran about 7 miles and had 13 stations. Today, it's a little over 200 miles with almost 200 stops. The system is justly famous for the elaborate decoration of its stations, many of them designed by the leading Soviet architects. Again, Irat Bagaudinov.
So there's a story that one of the architects brought his designs to Kaganovich, and Kaganovich said that this station looks too similar to one of the Egyptian palaces. And then the architect, his name was Dushkin, he said that they used to build palaces for pharaohs, we are going to build palaces for the people.
Many of the stations have representations of idealized Soviet people, soldiers, sailors, brawny industrial workers, and ironically, muscular collective farm women holding heavy sheaves of grain. They underline the metro's role as a symbol of Soviet achievement, but they're also a reminder of the ruthless means that were employed to build it. Corey Flintoff, NPR News, Moscow.